All right, Mr. Chairman, I think it's 3 o'clock if you're ready to get started.
All right. Thank you, Graham. Are you able to hear me okay?
Yeah, sure can.
Okay, perfect. All right. Thank you, everybody. I'd like to welcome you all to the Wednesday, March 10th, 2021 Alliance Regional Water Authority Board of Directors regular board meeting. Graham, if you would call roll, please.
Happily. Mayor Houston.
He's here. Here.
There we go. Mr. Taylor.
Here.
Mr. Sanford.
Here.
Mr. Neffendorf.
Here.
Councilmember Gleason.
Here.
All right, Mr. Ramos.
Here.
All right, Mr. Earp.
Here.
Mr. Taggart.
Here.
Mr. Betts.
Here.
All right, Mr. Turley.
Here.
And Mr. Allen, I have not heard from Pat. Hopefully he'll be able to join us soon. We still have two vacancies in San Marcos, although we expect to have Marie Kalka from City of San Marcos. I believe that's going to be on the San Marcos agenda here next week's meeting, as I understand it, for appointment of her to the board. So she's joining us today as well. But we do have quorum.
Thank you very much, Graham. And with that, a few quick reminders on how we've been trying to operate these video telephone meetings for voting. If you want to vote no or abstain, please ensure that you make it no. Otherwise, we'll assume that all votes are yes and unanimous. And for the consent agenda, unless there's a specific request to do otherwise, we'll vote on all the consent agenda items at once. And with that, we'll move on to item C, public comment period. Graham, I don't assume we have any.
Nobody is registered.
All right. Thank you. And with that, we'll move on to item D, consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve the consent agenda as presented. Mike Taylor.
Tom Taggart will second.
All right. Thank you very much. It is moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? Ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you. And
Mr. Chairman,
Pat, yes, sir.
Chris, just wanted to note that Pat Allen was able to join us, I believe, for that vote. So the minutes reflect that he joined us during item D.
Wonderful. Welcome, Pat. Moving on to item E, public hearings and presentation. Item E1, phase 1A booster pump station, ribbon cutting.
So we have a short video I want to show you for the Phase 1A booster pump station project. Reflecting back when we started this effort in 2015, we would have hoped to have been able to do the ribbon cutting in person instead of having to do it virtually. But obviously, about a year ago, COVID got in the way of our plans, and so we've tried to do an ad hoc version of doing a video instead. So on behalf of Alliance Water, we would like to thank you for attending this ribbon cutting for the 1A Booster Pump Station project. I would like to give special thanks to the board members, both past and present, the construction teams at Black Castle and Smith Contracting, along with the engineering teams at BGE, LAN, and LNV, Jim Tunnels, Jason Beamer, and Jeff Murkison, and all our member partners for your hard work in getting this project done. The reason we at Alliance Water is to provide sustainable long-term drinking water to our members. And certainly the Phase 1A pump station is a critical step towards reaching the goal and will serve as an important guide for the phases that follow. So with that, we'll show here about just under a 5-minute video and then do a toast at the end. Hopefully the sound will play through.
We are pleased to announce that the Phase 1A booster pump station is complete. Alliance Water was established in 2007. provide long-term sustainable water solutions to its members, which include the Canyon Regional Water Authority and the cities of Kyle, Buda, and San Marcos. To address a rising need for water in the fast-growing area between Austin and San Antonio, Alliance Water developed the Carrizo Water Supply Project in 2015. This project will provide long-term sustainable drinking water from the Carrizo-Wilcox Aquifer. This aquifer is one of 11 major aquifers in Texas, stretching across the state from Mexico to Louisiana, and currently supplies water to 66 Texas counties. To provide water to the varying customers throughout the region, the Carrizo Water Supply Project will include the construction of over 85 miles of underground pipeline, 4 wells that are over 700 feet deep to obtain water from the aquifer, a water treatment plant to clean the water, storage tanks, and finally, pump stations to deliver the water. The goal is to complete all construction for the project by mid-2023. The Phase 1A Booster Pump Station project is now complete. This is the first step of the Carrizo Water Supply Project and will primarily provide water to the city of Buda. Buda has seen tremendous growth in recent years with a population increase of 132% since 2010. Due to this rapid growth, the city has an immediate need for access to drinking water. The cities of Kyle and San Marcos have committed to sharing some of their excess water with Buda until the entire Carrizo Water Supply Project can be fully constructed. The Phase 1A Booster Pump Station makes this water sharing possible to meet Buda's current water needs and allows for the planning and execution of the next phases. Building this station was a critical first step to allow the project team to refine features that will be used throughout the project and provide relief to residents living in Buda. The Phase 1A Booster Pump Station project includes the take point, the pump station, and the delivery point. A water pumping station is an essential mechanism to ensure water is transported throughout the system to each delivery point, such as a treatment plant, a storage tank, and the customer. When the Carrizo Water Supply Project is completed, the Phase 1A pump station will supply up to 2.3 million gallons of water per day to the city of Buda, with the ability to expand capacity and provide up to 7.8 million gallons per day. That's enough to fill a football stadium with 1 foot of water 8,500 times. Several factors were considered in order to complete the Phase 1A pump station, including site layout, access to pump site and parking, site drainage and water quality, storage tank requirements, metering stations, electrical requirements, and delivery sites. The completion of the Phase 1A pump station is an important first step towards providing clean drinking water to Central Texas for many years to come. The first phase of the Carrizo Water Supply Project would not be possible without the Alliance Water Board members, the construction teams at Black Castle and Smith Contracting, the engineering teams at BGE and LAN, the Alliance Water staff, and all of the Alliance Water member partners. Also, a special thanks to the Texas Water Development Board for helping to fund the project. Now, a few words from Mayor Lee Urbanowski from the City of Buda.
The Alliance Regional Water Project from the Carrizo Aquifer will serve Buda's future needs, and we are proud of this collaboration. Bringing on this additional water source adds resiliency to our water system and ensures a safe and reliable supply for the citizens of Buda. An interim connection will be online later this year, and this connection can provide Buda water from a sharing agreement very soon if needed. The main Alliance project will be operational in 2023 and will help meet the needs of our growing city for decades to come. Partnering with Kyle and San Marcos and the Canyon Regional Water Authority allows Buda to achieve an economy of scale that would otherwise not be possible, and we absolutely appreciate taking part in this major project.
All right. So with that, if you've got a glass of water handy, would like to offer a toast to the completion of the first phase of water delivery, a critical step towards the development of Carrizo water for our sponsors. This is the first of many more steps we've got to complete before we have water delivered to all our customers, but this is certainly an important one, and thank you for all your support and help getting to this point. Cheers.
Cheers.
hope you liked the video. Obviously, we didn't focus just on the booster pump station project. We wanted to put it in context of the overall delivery system. And CDMP, our public relations firm, did a terrific job in pulling this together. This is a piece that we will they will push out through our social media as well as reside on our website so that we can reference this and send people to it, give them a better overview of what we're doing in terms of water development. So I think it was a very well done piece by them. I thank them for pulling this together for us. We obviously have much more construction to come here over the course of the next 2 years. I'm optimistic as everybody starts getting the vaccine that we can have actual groundbreakings in person and then our ribbon cuttings when it's time to actually deliver the Carrizo water in 2023. Certainly by that time, we should be in person for those efforts. I think we'd all prefer that to this type of a virtual scenario. But nonetheless, again, thank you so much for your help in getting this project where it is. I'm happy to ask or address any questions that you've got or if anybody wants to make a statement now. We do have an item on the agenda, and which will come up next, to formally accept the project so we can continue forward with closing it out. But that being said, I'm happy to ask anything or if anybody else has any statements they just want to make, now would be a good time.
That's a great video, Graham. I assume the link is easily findable on our website if we wanted to send it out to others.
Yes, sir. We will get that posted out there. We've, as part of this, created a YouTube channel for it. So any videos we have in the future, we will also be tied to that YouTube channel. It's easier to share that way, as I understand it. So I'll make sure to send that out to you as soon as it's linked onto our website and get that out to the board members in case you want to share it with others.
Yes, always nice to have something easily understandable to send out to people that care, but maybe not so much that they want to spend hours researching it. I think that's a great summary of this project. Thank you.
Graham, I'd just like to thank you and your staff for your diligence in pursuing this and, you know, getting us past this first significant milestone.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Graham. Thank you, everybody. With that, we'll move on to item F, items for discussion, not requiring action. And for this, traditionally, what we've been doing, if you would like to discuss one of these items, please ensure that you make it known. Otherwise, we'll assume that the information in your packet was sufficient and no other further discussion is desired. All right. Looks like we're good then. Thank you. Moving on to item G, Executive Director and Legal Counsel Reports.
Just a couple of items here. There is a possibility we will need a second meeting this month. As you recall, we rescheduled this meeting from February. There are 5 weeks in the month of March, so I think there's a possibility we will need a meeting. If so, I anticipate it would be the fifth Wednesday of the month to give us a little space, so that'd be March 31st. And if that is necessary, it'd be a short agenda, shorter than usual. So we'll keep abreast, and we'll certainly send out notifications ahead of time. One of the items that might be on that agenda or would certainly be on the April agenda if we don't have a second March meeting is to fill a vacancy on the Administrative Committee. That is a committee that's made up of three board appointees, so that must be board members to be appointed. And so we've got one vacancy from that was previously filled by City of Kyle appointee. And we have Micah Growl, who is from Buda as a non-voting member. Since he is not a board member, he cannot be a voting member. So we'd like to fill that position on the Administrative Committee coming up. That committee will, and a couple of things here through the rest of the year, they'll be looking at is consultant reviews as we do on a single basis. And we're also going to be looking at health insurance for employees and possibly looking at changing from TML Health. We're going to evaluate that. So just heads up, that's going to be on next agenda. I believe that's all I've got under this item. Mike, I don't know if you have anything.
I do not.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Moving on to Section H, Items for Action or Discussion Direction. Item H1, consider adoption of Resolution 2021031001, accepting the Phase 1A Booster Pump Station Project and requesting the release of final payment for the Texas Water Development Board.
Well, as noted in our ribbon cutting, that the Booster Pump Station Project itself is complete. Our engineers, construction manager, and the whole team is recommending acceptance of the project. That's a formal step that we must take because we received funding through the Texas Water Development Board so that we could submit all final documentation and seek request of the release of retainage from the Texas Water Development Board for the project. So in the packet is a resolution that would formally accept the station and authorize staff to submit paperwork to the Water Development Board.
This is Mr. Ramos. Move to approve resolution 2021031001.
Mike Taylor, second.
All right. Thank you very much. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you very much. Going on to item H2, consider adoption of resolution 2021031002, accepting and approving the audit report for the 2019 to 2020 financial audit of the authority.
Great. We have Phil Vaughn with Armstrong Vaughn & Associates joining us. He's conducted their audit for the last 3 years. So, Phil, I'm going to turn to you, and I've tried Graham, to get some of the highlights of your report.
Graham, we may be having a tough time hearing you, I think. Maybe getting a little breaking up.
Okay. I'll let Phil take over from here. Go ahead, Phil.
There you go. Okay.
Sure. Can everybody hear me okay?
Just great. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Great. I promise I'll be brief. As Graham said, my name's Phil Vaughn. I'm your independent auditor that you've hired to test these financial statements. So our job is to look at this annual report and make sure that the numbers in it are accurate. We've done our due diligence and we agree these are good numbers. There's a letter that accompanies the audit report that goes over some things like if we had any disagreements with management, difficulty working with them, things like that. There's not really much of note in there. It does mention that the timing was a little bit delayed. As you guys know, we planned to be here in January, but we got pushed back to March a little bit. And then it also mentions if we have to do help management with any journal entries. And we've mentioned that there's a couple in there that we help with, and it's usually the timing of trying to get the GVRA bills in there that are coming. And there's a lot of timing on your project costs when it usually takes 2 to 3 months for you to get those and try to get them all in that year. And then the other one that's the hard one is the phase 1A, since some of the participants are doing cash and some are doing debt. Since that's now all completed, we wanted to make sure that was reconciled and that the cash participating entities were billed the right amount. And so we worked with Graham on that. On the actual financial statements themselves, the authority was under budget on all of its line items, and the actual results for 2020 were very similar to 2019. Your groundwater reservation costs are increasing as you've added some more permits in Gonzales, but the bonus payments that you paid on these leases 10, 11 years ago are finally off the books. And so when that coming off the books has helped offset that increase in those lease costs. You ended the year with a little over $5 million in unrestricted net assets for the authority. And that represents about two years of your operating costs. Having said that, though, you do have $6.8 million in debt service that's going to be coming next year. Plus, you have your new 2020 bonds that are going to be layered on top. So you do have a little bit of a cushion, but not a lot. But I'd be happy to answer any questions or go through anything. I know that was brief, just some highlights.
Phil, this is Mike Taylor. I appreciate your hard work on this. I know I've worked with you at Crystal Clear as our auditor and as the treasurer of CRWA, and I appreciate y'all's diligence and hard work.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else? All right. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mike Taylor. I move to approve resolution 2021-03-10.002 as presented.
This is Pat Allen. I'll second that.
All right. Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you very much. All right. Moving on to item H3. Consider adoption of resolution 2021-03-10003, approving work order number 5 with Kimley Horn and Associates Incorporated for Phase 1B Owner's Representative Services for March 2021 through February 2022.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So for the past 3 years, we've had Kimley Horn selected as our owner's representative for the Phase 1B program. Their contracts run annually from March through the end of February, so it is time to consider a renewal to that contract. We routed the proposed agreement through the technical committee that unanimously recommended approval of it. We also collected review responses from the board members that wished to participate and had a meeting with the administrative committee. And the administrative committee likewise unanimously recommended renewing an agreement with Kimley Horn and Associates. Effectively, they will continue doing the same work they've been doing for us, continuing to help manage the Phase 1B program. The specific tasks are listed within the board packet. As we discussed last year, the fee for this coming year is slightly reduced from what we had this past year. We were at just over $3 million, $3.1 million in fee not to exceed. And this would be dropped down by about $500,000 from that as we move away from the design phase and more into the procurement and construction phase of these projects. We would expect this to continue to drop over the ensuing or following years as we go towards completion of the project. Included in this amount is task 18, which is support during the construction phase services for environmental aspects. They will be on call to clear environmentally anything that arises, or for clearing times when there might be nesting birds residing there or other critical habitat that have to be reviewed, those types of efforts, so they can respond quickly to that. So that's an additional item that we have not had previously. They are well ahead of meeting their HUD requirements at a 23.7% goal for this, and they are meeting at about 58%, 59%, so they're well ahead of that, which is good to see. As I noted, this has been recommended by both the technical committee and administrative committee, as well as myself. Happy to answer any questions that there might be regarding the agreement, we'll open it up for any questions that you might have.
Graham, this is Mike Taylor. Do we have a typo in this on the sheet about the resolution number? It says 2020. Is it supposed to be 2021?
Yes, sir, it is. You're correct. That should be 2021. I believe the resolution number itself behind that is correct, but in the board packet, it's incorrect.
Okay.
So good catch, Mike. Thank you.
Given that, I would, Mr. Chairman, I would move to approve the resolution as presented.
This is Pat. I'll second that.
Sorry.
All right. Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. Motion passes. Thank you. And with that, we're moving on to item H4, update and discussion regarding the status of the authority's Phase 1B program and direction to staff and consultants.
All right, I'm getting it pulled up, and we'll ask Ryan to step in here and look for it. All right, Ryan, go ahead.
Afternoon, everyone.
All right.
Hi, Ryan.
Hello. All right, there we go. So we've got two items on the agenda update-wise. So starting with our general update here within our general discussion here, of course, touch on some ongoing progress for the Phase 1B program, monthly budget update, and then there's two consulting contract items on the agenda today. So I'll go over each of those, one for the treatment plant and one for the inline elevated storage tanks. Very briefly touching on design milestone review progress. Just this past month, received 100% plans and provided comments and feedback to those consultants for their 100% submittals for pipeline segment B and D. A little bit of a break here in March, but a couple more to come in April with pipeline segment C and E 90%. So generally speaking, majority of the design projects at this point are getting towards the tail end of the design process, which is great to see. But still some more ahead of us, but certainly not near the pace we were dealing with just a few months ago. Moving on to the Water Development Board, touch on a couple of updates here. We do have a few submittals that are currently under review with the board. On pipeline segment A, they are currently reviewing the engineering feasibility report as well as the environmental data report, and anticipating comments back on both of those by mid to late March, hopefully in the next 1 to 2 weeks. The water treatment plant, of course, we've gone through the EFR process already on the water treatment plant. The final design submittal, we have received draft comments back on that, and the design consultant is just about wrapped up with responses and finalizing those documents. So here in the next couple of weeks, anticipate being ready to go into the procurement phase. So far, these submittals here in early 2021 have help to serve, give us an idea of what we can expect with many more submittals to come to the Water Development Board through the remainder of this year and even these next couple of months. So something we'll definitely be keeping y'all updated on if we're seeing any significant delays to report or anything like that, but no significant concerns so far. With regards to release of funds, nothing currently submitted, but particularly with some of these submittals being reviewed and getting over the hump on a few deliverables with the Water Development Board, anticipate in the next 1 to 2 months we'll be going back to them for additional release of fund requests for procurement services as we move into bidding of the treatment plant, of course, land acquisition and multiple other items. So we'll keep you updated on that. With regards to easement acquisition status, I'll start by saying our next presentation will be an overall schedule update, which will include a lot more depth of detail with regards to easement acquisition status. So we'll be multiple slides and discussion associated with that. But as we always do, wanted to give you at least this general update, but just give you that heads up that more detail to come here momentarily. Starting with segments A, of course, and B, all initial offers are out at this point. Segment B having a few final offers outstanding. Continuing to see progress, particularly on A, with getting purchase agreement signed or at least getting possession obtained, especially now that we've gone through multiple condemnation hearings. So between segments A and B, there's between March and April, I believe we have on the order of 25 commissioners' hearings coming up. So certainly we'll have a lot of updates to give you coming out of those here over these next several weeks. But a lot of activity right now by Alliance's special counsel on the eminent domain side of things. So otherwise, segment D is following just behind A and B with a handful of final offers remaining, but just trying to move along the process as needed to complete that one. And then segment C and E, of course, are behind the first three segments. Still plenty of negotiations going on, some being moved over to condemnation, but still a ways to go overall. Moving on to the well field, our one project in construction, and we're getting close to the end of the construction process at this point. Here in the last month, wells 8 and 9, of course, the actual work in the field is largely complete, pending some additional lab results. We provided an update to the technical committee on water quality this, I guess it was back in February now, about a month ago, for the technical committee. Still gathering more water quality data, and we'll eventually come to the board to give an overall update once we have more of that data in hand. But nonetheless, sites 8 and 9, the process is largely complete in the field at this point. Site 7, they're continuing to work on that well. It's largely complete, running pump testing, trying to get the efficiency up. So a little more work to be done there. And then site 6, they are on the verge of starting the pump testing there. So looking ahead, it's really a little more work in the field on sites 6 and 7, hopefully wrapping up those pump tests so we can move on to the water sampling process and really start to wrap up. So all in all, on schedule at this point, no major snags to report here of late. And just a few snapshots to provide for you here for wells 6 and 7 as they're, as I said, continuing the well development process at those two sites. Some aerial views there of well site 7. Moving on to budget update, provided the update you see here to the technical committee last month. Just a refresher for everyone. Of course, the submittal, where we're at in the design submittal process over to the left, projects divided up by combined program projects with GBRA, and the lower tier there being the Alliance-only infrastructure, and updated costs identified in the blue font you see on this slide. So relative to the January update, we did see a slight increase of a few million dollars overall, a modest increase on the booster pump station projected construction cost. Segments A and B is probably where more of the increase was identified, and the input from the design consultants, which you've heard me saying since January, is some of the materials market, in particular steel, has been seeing a pretty significant uptick of late. Even as recent as last week, we're still getting that feedback. So something we're continuing to monitor. Steel certainly tends to fluctuate quite a bit. So just something we'll be continuing to keep a close eye on. No other major updates to provide at the moment. So, but happy to take any questions there.
Ryan, I do have a question regarding pipeline segment C, mostly if not all in Hayes County. I noticed the appraisals prepared was obviously, quite a bit lower than the other segments. Is that intended? And I know we're off a little bit, but your feeling is that an issue at this point?
I would say generally that is a concern. We have been couple things to mention on that. The appraiser, because we've had a pretty significant amount of parcels going into the condemnation process, they've had to spend a fair amount of time updating appraisals for those commissioners' hearings. So that certainly is cut into CBRE's effort on, in particular on segment C. We're largely there on all of the other segments, as you can see. But yes, no, that's something we have been talking to them about in recent weeks, that we really need to see a significant increase in turnaround on appraisals on that particular segment. So no major concerns just yet, but something we have asked for them to refocus on and accelerate as much as they reasonably can.
I understand. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. On to the couple of consulting contracts on the agenda today. The first one for the water treatment plant, this is actually a supplemental service request. And this spans multiple months as Walker Partners has been working through the final design process. Along the way, we've been having a fair amount of discussion with them about, as they've been working through final design at a pretty accelerated pace, some items that they were working on and the how they fit into the scope of work and basically wanted to come to the board with one proposal to accumulate all of those and bring those to you at once, as opposed to issuing multiple small supplementals along the way. And so the first couple of items here under this supplemental request fall into that category. And I'll hit the highlights of a few of these items that were out of scope for Walker Partners in final design. In particular, the high service pump station. We went through multiple iterations with Walker Partners on the design of the pump station, including having to design the pumps to work for not only a 42-inch main, but also the alternate size that'll be bid for pipeline segment A of 48-inch. And the effort associated with that. Secondly, and probably the bulk of a lot of the general engineering design additional request here is associated with their value engineering effort. Along the way through 60 and 90% design, collectively between Alliance, the program, and Walker Partners, we've been, not to mention the CM team, been providing a lot of feedback to them on ways that we could, opportunities we saw to reduce the overall cost, projected cost of the treatment plant for construction. So a lot of the design effort that Walker Partners has been charged with has been associated with adjusting the design along the way to bring down the overall projected construction cost throughout 60, 90, and 100% design. The next thing I'd touch on, the SCADA fiber and security design, we had Walker Partners set aside a preset amount of supplemental budget for additional effort associated with SCADA fiber and security. As the program was further developing the standards associated with these elements, it resulted in us needing to request Walker Partners to put in some of that additional effort associated with the design of those items versus what was in the original basic scope. So at the time that we scoped this back now about a year ago, weren't entirely sure if these items were going to be necessary, but as we worked through design, it became apparent that they were, and they've been incorporated into the overall design. Then the last thing is the procurement phase services. This was also within the original contract. This was a set aside amount, time and materials amount for the upcoming procurement phase. As Walker Partners and as the overall project is going out for procurement for competitive sealed proposal, the amount you see here reflects what was in the original contract their effort, you know, to go through the bid phase. They, along with their sub-consultants, answering contractor questions, issuing addenda as required, preparing the conform documents for construction and associated tasks. So the total you see here, some of this or a good portion of this is lump sum, and that's the engineering design and then the SCADA fiber and security design additional effort, just over 192,000, and then the procurement phase services, time and materials, little over $156,000. Happy to answer any additional questions on this.
Is the procurement phase stuff that's time and materials, that's a not to exceed, but it could come in under that, right?
Correct, because it is time and materials, and at the time, you know, given the magnitude of this project, that was the reason for setting it up that way in supplemental, is given the uncertainty of, based on the magnitude of this project, of just what we can expect in the way of questions during bidding, you know, really hard for both Walker Partners and the program to come to a consensus, you know, in terms of what we thought would clearly be the well-defined effort for this, which was the reason for going the time and materials route. So yes, Mike, to answer your question, it's an up to, not to exceed amount, you know, could certainly finish below that.
Thank you.
And I guess I'd have a general question in relation to the security design on SCADA. I assume this has been evaluated in relation to the most recent incidents that they've seen in Florida and elsewhere that indicate that cybersecurity needs to be more hardened than we find in many traditional utility applications. And has that been priced in for that level of security and verification for the project?
This is Graham. Yes, it has. Even in our phase 1A design, we've been cognizant to make sure that we didn't have outside sources that could reach into our communication systems and SCADA systems. Two-factor authentications, you know, everything that we can do to try and keep the situations like what happened in Florida from happening here, individual login information. And so all that is built in to not only this water treatment plan and this aspect, but really what we already did in the phase 1A as well. So it's just carrying that forward.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to the second contract. This is for the final design and procurement phases associated with the inline elevated storage tanks. Our design consultant for this effort is Plummer, and they have very recently completed the engineering feasibility report for the two proposed tanks. These are both the north and the south tank that Plummer's been responsible for the design of, shown in the exhibit there, the two purple triangles you see on one on each leg of the pipeline. In summary, at each of the tank sites, of course, the elevated tanks themselves, the design and specification associated with that, evaluation of tank mixing systems, electrical instrumentation and SCADA, site improvements, including offsite drainage and access and associated efforts. Total projected construction cost associated with the tank sites cumulatively just over $11 million. And as far as hitting the highlights of the scope of work, basic services, very similar to what you've seen, you know, for the majority of the prior projects, of course, going through the design submittal process. Various elements associated with the design, civil, mechanical, as I mentioned already, electrical and instrumentation. Field work included, design survey, multiple geotechnical bores at each site. Given that these are elevated tanks, they do require pretty deep borings at each location and evaluation of multiple foundation options, depending on what the subsurface conditions tell them, as well as some utility locates at some specific locations there adjacent to the site. Multiple agencies to be coordinated with, several listed there, but also, once again, because this is an elevated, these are elevated tanks, the FAA as well, making sure there's no concerns from that standpoint. Preliminary determinations indicate there are not. So in addition to that, to the design effort, of course, the procurement phase services are included in this as well, but construction phase will be a separate work order similar to all the prior design projects that have come to the board for approval. Supplemental services, just a few items to touch on, just an allotment for some additional field work. Of course, all supplemental is to be approved only on an as-needed basis, so there's an allotment for some additional field work if it's deemed necessary. If either or both of these parcels end up needing to go through eminent domain process, there's supplemental set aside for plumbers support associated with that effort. And then just an allotment for general engineering design if there's just something unexpected that comes up out of scope that needs to be addressed, can utilize that on an as approved basis. Total basic services fee, approximately $434,000. Supplemental services, approximately $66,000. No additional concerns from the program standpoint. Recommend approval of this as well. Happy to take any questions.
I think that's all we have under this item, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you very much. Moving on to item H5, update, discussion, and possible direction to staff regarding the authority's Phase 1B program schedule.
Yes.
I'm getting that one up, too. Just bear with me a minute.
Sure. I'll just start by saying first part of this update is focused on the overall program schedule. The second part is a little more details associated with the land acquisition status and effort. So with that in mind, what I touch on in the first several slides might to some extent overlap with some of the discussion in the second part. So just to give you all a heads up, might repeat myself once or twice on some of these items. But to start with, wanted to touch on, you know, last update we provided was October timeframe. And so since that time, wanted to at least hit the highlights of key schedule items that have, you know, been critical to critical path for the overall program schedule and just touch on these briefly. Starting with TCEQ exception requests, particularly with the facilities, the water treatment plant, you know, these are exceptions we submitted to the TCEQ to their standards where with design consultant input, it was deemed, you know, a worthwhile endeavor to avoid burdens of TCEQ regulations that maybe weren't necessarily applicable to our specific design. So starting with the water treatment plant, from a schedule standpoint, the overall review process extended 4 to 6 weeks longer than we had hoped and anticipated for. I guess I would say longer than what's traditional here recently with TCEQ on these reviews. Of course, there was a fair amount of back and forth and discussion with them specific to the exceptions being requested. So all that to say, we did see some impact to the water treatment plant schedule based on that process being one of the key factors. Booster pump station delivery points. We are in the midst of continued coordination there. It appears that we have wrapped up that process now, pending any remaining feedback from them. But similarly, we did see that this process extended out approximately a month longer than originally anticipated. And once again, primarily just having to do with some of the feedback we received and trying to address that, not only with the TCEQ, but because a lot of the exceptions requested are associated with the Alliance delivery points, the design consultant had to coordinate with multiple Alliance sponsors to make sure that the changes being requested by the TCEQ were those that would be comfortable to the sponsors, specific to their ground storage tanks and associated infrastructure. Easement acquisition, one key thing to point out, we've touched on this in prior updates, but we did get approval from the Water Development Board to continue the easement acquisition process while procurement is getting underway for the pipelines. So some of our easements, we may still be in the midst of the eminent domain process. We may have a commissioner's hearing scheduled, but Water Development Board was comfortable that so long as we're not trying to issue a contract and a notice to proceed for construction, they were comfortable with us continuing the procurement process or the easement acquisition process while we are in the midst of procurement. So secondly, commissioner's hearings, we've talked about that along the way, just in the fall and winter in particular, due to COVID and other reasons, getting commissioner's hearings scheduled with the county and with the commissioners themselves has been subject to some delays. I mentioned earlier that we have numerous hearings scheduled in March and April, so we're seeing things get more in a pattern there and a high frequency of getting those scheduled now by Alliance's special counsel. So feels like we're on track there now, but certainly saw some impact earlier in the process. Corps of Engineers, another one that we've talked about for some time, trying to work through, in particular, their cultural resources review of our pipelines. We did, here in the last month, get over the hump on Segment A and get approval there. So that was definitely good news. We're working through things with the Corps now on segments B and D and hopefully getting resolution there as well. But continues to be, as far as the environmental agency review is concerned, that continues to be our key step in the process that at times is holding us up. And then last thing I'll touch on here in terms of general developments, pipeline segment A, B, and D. You'll see in the schedule update here, we reduced the construction durations from 24 to 21 months. That was with input from the design consultants based on their own analyses and, of course, their own outreach to multiple contractors for that feedback. Segment C and E are still under evaluation, so you won't see any change to those construction durations here. So what you see here is the prior update that was provided back in October. And at that time, of majority of the updates and impacts at that time were to pipelines and primarily associated with environmental and land acquisition. Similar theme continues into the next update, today's update. Graham, if you want to go ahead and go over to that one. So multiple things to touch on here. The next couple of slides, I'll get into a little bit more detail on each specific project, but to hit the highlights here, down in the bottom right, you can see just a reminder, you'll see the legend down there identifying the different, basically the legend associated with the different colors on each project bar chart there. Starting with the pipelines, A, B, and D. As I mentioned, the total construction durations were formally decreased in the program schedule, hence why you see some net decreases in the overall program schedule as identified there versus the prior update. However, would point out, of course, you know, those are offset somewhat by some of the continued impacts that we're seeing between easement acquisition and environmental. So touch on that a little bit more in a moment. Easement acquisition, you can see for all five pipelines, the green bars there that all show a significant increase in each case. The way this is mitigated, as I mentioned before, is with our coordination with the Water Development Board, and they're allowing for the easement acquisition process to continue while we are procuring the project. Water treatment plant, delay of 1 month, and that's due largely to, as I mentioned before, the impact of the TCEQ exception request process extending out a bit, and Booster Pump Station seeing a similar delay for the same reason. One other thing I'll touch on in the schedule you see here, pipeline segment E, of course, is showing to extend beyond the targeted substantial completion timeframe of June 2023. However, do anticipate still that segment E1, which is the first part of segment E up to the New Braunfels Utilities Delivery Point, which is the portion of the segment that's part of the combined program with GBRA, do still anticipate that to finish in advance of that substantial completion of June 2023. Graham, if you want to go ahead and advance, I'll thank you. So won't touch on every single bullet you see here on the screen. I'll talk big picture, and of course, feel free to jump in with any questions you may have. Pipeline segment A, since the last time the schedule gained by 1 month, right now, with us having the Corps of Engineers out of the way, really the remaining items on pipeline segment A at this point are the Water Development Board review durations. I mentioned earlier in the phase 1B general update that right now the Water Development Board is reviewing the EFR and will be submitting the final documents right behind that as we get their comments back on the EFR. Land acquisition, not anticipating any additional impacts there because we are, you know, going to be able to go into the procurement phase, but certainly something we're continuing to push to keep that process moving as much as we can to keep from that becoming a potential issue again. Pipelines segment B, C, D, and E. I guess the one key thing I would point out, you know, we've gotten through the Corps of Engineers process on segment A. Hopefully we'll be there soon on segments B and D. But all in all, still working to get through that process on each of those segments. Although segment E will not have to be submitted to the Corps of Engineers based on current alignment and everything else, according to our program environmental consultant. So we'll hopefully avoid that process altogether on that segment. Segment C, one other thing I'll touch on here is just while A, B, and D were largely through the alignment confirmation process, C and E were still working through that with some landowners. So just one other, because those two segments lag the other three a bit, that's one other key thing that we're just continuing to work through is as developers are providing requests for potential realignments and those kinds of things, trying to work through the best opportunity for alliance and for those landowners and see if we can come to a consensus, but obviously not to the detriment of the overall critical path. If you want to move on to the next, oh, thank you. Okay. So water treatment plant, I'll, you know, of course, as I just mentioned, we're really just wrapping up final documents, wrapping up coordination with the Water Development Board for approval to go to procurement, expecting that over the next couple of weeks at this point. So really no major risks at this point to getting to procurement on the water treatment plan. Expect those dates will stand. Booster pump station, it appears we're back on track with the TCEQ on the exception request process. Still, we'll then need to get Water Development Board reviewing, as well as getting some permitting wrapped up on the pump station. But we're largely there at this point as well. And then, of course, lastly, touched on well drilling construction earlier. We're on schedule there, and inline tanks, nothing to report at this point. Any questions at this point? I'll talk a little bit more in depth about the easement acquisition process, but wanted to pause and at least check and see if there are any questions related to any of the projects specifically. Okay. So wanted to, as we talk pipeline easement acquisition, wanted to start by highlighting some of the key impacts to date. You've all probably heard nearly all of these before, but just to hit the highlights briefly, going back to the alignment confirmation process, and in particular, as we talked about previously with the right of entry process, that extended well beyond what we had set the schedule for initially. A number of reasons for that, but you know, chief among those being landowners unwilling to allow rights of entry to a point where in some cases temporary injunctions were required. Also extended negotiations with some landowners' attorneys to try to come to terms that were agreeable for everybody before being able to access sites. On the design side, as the design consultants and environmental consultant did initial desktop reviews and then followed up with more in-depth alignment analysis in the field as we got rights of entry, not a lot of alignment changes came about because of that, and credit to those consultants for that, because really the primary driver for changes in alignment have been less associated with design and more associated with working with landowners and trying to find something that was agreeable for them as well as Alliance. Other items to touch on briefly, land sales in particular, as the land acquisition team is in the process of negotiating on some of these parcels, we do have some land that changes hands or in some cases even subdivides and leads to that process starting over, basically. And so that certainly has caused some snags to schedule in some cases. Secondly, as I've mentioned already, just development coordination, as some landowners have preliminary plans for development, working with them to try to find a consensus for what would work best for their development, but also work best for Alliance as well, trying to meet in the middle on those items. So what you see here in this table is the status of initial offers by segment, including the well field. And what you see in the second column are initial offers remaining overall, and then third column, initial offers remaining associated with the combined program, meaning the infrastructure between Alliance and GBRA both. Obviously, the total there is not accurate. 1 + 2 does not equal 6. So I double-checked the math there. That should be 3. For each of these segments, as we coordinated with the Water Development Board and confirmed our path forward, you know, with some of these parcels being able to extend the negotiation or the acquisition process into the procurement phase, we then went back and looked at what, based on that, making sure that we're completed with the eminent domain process, prior to completing the procurement process, when do we need that last initial offer letter to get out? Obviously, for each any given pipeline segment, the overall critical path is going to be based on when that last initial offer letter goes out the door. That's going to define the critical path. So, Graham, you can actually go ahead to the – so for each segment, it's staggered. And then looking at it detailed on the next slide, step by step, we then looked at what are the minimum durations that we need to make sure, or the maximum durations that we need to hold to for each of these steps, the initial offer letter process, negotiation, final offer letter process, approval for condemnation. Generally, we've gone through the final offer letter process. If it's apparent that no agreement would be made, then we then have brought that parcel to the board for consideration for the condemnation process. Now, where we're at, particularly with some of these last parcels going out for any given pipeline segment, we may come to you somewhat in advance of completion of that final offer negotiation process, with the hopes that an agreement will be reached with the landowner. But in the event it's not, then we're not having to wait, you know, another 2 weeks, 3 weeks or more to then get it on the next board agenda. So something we'll preemptively do if we think the situation merits it to not impact critical path. And then from there, it's, of course, if it doesn't result in a signed agreement, then we're into eminent domain. And as I've mentioned, touched on a few times already, special counsel for Alliance DTR&G is actively pretty much every day getting hearings scheduled right now. And we've certainly seen that pace pick up, which is encouraging. But that is still, of course, the one step in this process that is somewhat out of our control. Working with the county, working with the commissioners, and trying to get the earliest date available. So moving forward, as I said, we'll be continuing to track getting those initial offers out and making sure we adhere to that schedule as closely as we can. So as to not affect critical path further. But the key risks, you know, we'll continue to deal with potentially number one, land sales. And if that happens late in a given negotiation process, just having to deal with the impacts of that and trying to get back on track as quickly as we can. And then, as I said already, just the timing associated with commissioners' hearings getting scheduled. So, weekly calls with special counsel, weekly call with the land team. There's a fair amount of discussion day to day and week to week on the status of all these things. So it's, you know, certainly one of the very top things from a critical path standpoint. So certainly near the top of our list and discussed just about every day. So with that, I'll be happy to take any questions.
All right. Thank you very much, Ryan.
Thank you.
Okay, so moving on to item H6, consider adoption of resolution 2021-03-10004, approving supplemental amendment number 4 to work order number 3 with Walker Partners LLC for additional design phase and bid phase services for the phase 1B water treatment plant project.
I move approval, Tom Taggart.
All right. Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
This is Mr. Ramos. I have a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
For this item and the next item, I guess, Graham, is this within the budget?
Yes, they both are within the budget. When we approved the original work order number 3 with Walker Partners, we had identified a potential supplemental budget of $633,000. With the previous supplementals that have been issued and the addition of this, we are still below that authorized amount, and so it is within our budget.
Okay, so we're not going to exceed, as we're trying to save costs, we're not going to exceed those costs by increasing the budget. So that's a good response.
That's right. It does not increase the budget. And the next item as well, it does not either. It's actually quite a bit lower than what we had budgeted at this point for design phase services.
Okay, thank you. And the last request I'd like to make is it possible, I guess, for these requests to come in to basically show the shared costs, you know, where GBR would pay so much, and just as a reminder, and what the Alliance would pay?
Sure. We could certainly do that.
You know, in the future ones, just, you know, let us know, okay, although it's whatever amount, let's say 500,000, Alliance is paying this much, GBR is paying that much. I know these are shared facilities, but again, just as a reminder and as a notation for future, in case somebody wants to look at them in the future to see what who paid what.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, we could certainly add that.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any extensions? The ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you. Going on to item H7. Consider adoption of resolution 2021-03-10005, approving work order number 2 with Allen Plummer & Associates Incorporated for final design of the Phase 1B inline elevated storage tanks.
Move to approve it as presented. Mike Taylor.
Mr. Roberts, second.
All right. Thank you. It has been and seconded. Is there any discussions? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you. On to item H8. Consider adoption of resolution 2021-03-10006, approving the memorandum of understanding between the authority and the City of San Marcos and County Line Special Utility District for water supply sharing.
Board, I'm happy to present to you a new memorandum of understanding that will take place between the authority, the City of San Marcos and County Line Special Utility District for water sharing. Hopefully you're aware that we already have a water supply sharing rules and procedures that were put in place back in 2014. We have a memorandum of understanding that's already in place with the City of Buda, ourselves, and the cities of Kyle and San Marcos to do a similar type thing of make water available to Buda for their use prior to our delivery of the Carrizo water to our sponsors in 2023. About a year ago at this time, we went through a process of asking our sponsors for updated water projections and trying to determine if there was going to be a need from any of the other entities for water in a shared arrangement. And County Line came forward and said they felt like they were going to need some shared water, and asked that if we try and work with them to make an arrangement possible. As a result of that, we kind of went back out to all of the members and asked who felt like they had a surplus and could participate in a program such as this. And San Marcos stepped forward and offered that they had some surplus water that they could make available to County Line. So over the course of, I'd say, the fall and winter, we started working on more details with County Line and San Marcos. And our rules and procedures set out that when and if possible, we like to do permit transfers instead of physical interconnections. We think it's the least costly way to share that water. And in many ways, it's the simplest. And so in this case, both County Line and San Marcos have wells in the Edwards Aquifer and have permitted wells within that aquifer. And so we have approached this as a transfer of some permitted water rights on a temporary basis from San Marcos to County Line. At the end, once we have Carrizo water being delivered, those water rights would transfer back to San Marcos from County Line. you might recall that in December of last year, we hired HDR to perform a rate study to determine the cost of that shared water. They really concluded their effort in February and identified on a per million gallon basis an annual take or pay amount of $165,228. And then on a volumetric rate, so for every 1,000 gallons of water actually pumped through County Line's wells, would be an additional $3.21 per 1,000 gallons. Just earlier this month, County Line kind of formalized their request and reduced the amount that they wanted to get through the water sharing program to 630 acre feet per year. Just so you know, we use a lot of different terms. A million gallons per day is about 1,120 acre feet per year. So this is about 60% of a million gallons or so. So that they dropped their request by about 40%. And so that results in an annual amount. This is actually a typo. It should be $92,941. We drafted the attached agreement with the help of Mike Gershon to effectuate this water sharing agreement. Just like we've always done in the past, Alliance Water kind of sits in the middle of this arrangement and helps make the handshake happen between County Line and San Marcos. So we will bill County Line for the annual or actually monthly amount that's needed, collect that, and then we will in turn make that payment to the city of San Marcos. That's exactly how we do with City of Buda. We don't have a markup in that. It's really just kind of a part of our overall effort of working together to get to the development of the Carrizo project. So I think that pretty much hits the highlights. There are a couple of revisions in the agreement that I want to point out to you that are a little bit different than what were in the version that went out in your packet. And I want to thank Mike Gershon for these. When we made the change from million gallons per day to acre feet per year, we missed a couple of items in a couple of the paragraphs that would make that make more sense. And so under the agreement section in paragraph C, we just ask that County Line will operate its meter and meter its groundwater withdrawals throughout the term of this memorandum of understanding to ensure that the limit on the total annual water amount pumped then utilized is not exceeded. So again, we're just realizing that's on an annual basis instead of on a daily basis. And then secondly, I think this will be a typo that everybody will understand. We initially had this as an annual amount of $92,941. The actual monthly amount will be billed, and that's $7,745. So didn't mean to cause any sticker shock there for anybody at County Line. That was a little bit of an error. So those are two changes we'll ask for you to approve in this resolution. My understanding is this is set for approval by the other entities here over the course of the next month or so. So with that, I'd like to thank Jason really led the effort on Jason Beamer led the effort on gathering all the data on the water needs and starting to kind of do the matchmaking of adding those two things together. And then Mike Gershon and HDR, both for your efforts in not only in this agreement, and HDR's effort in the rate study. I think we've got another nice package here that's helping one of our members really continue on until we get that Carrizo water online and helping to meet what otherwise might be a need there. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Ramos, move to approve based with revisions.
Second, Mike Taylor.
All right, thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
This is Mr. Ramos. Yes. I'd like to thank San Marcos again for helping out one of Canyon Regional's entities. Again, this is this helps prolong the project and helps everybody work collaboratively to provide water for everyone. So thank you again, San Marcos.
You're welcome.
Yes, we greatly appreciate it. Any further discussion on this item? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes. Again, thank you very much. Moving on to item H9, discussion of legislative issues for the 87th Texas Legislature and possible direction to staff.
All right. Well, it is that time of year. Scott Miller, I saw you were on. If you want to give us an overview of what's happening at the Capitol, and then we could talk about any specific bills. Well, I don't see him picking up. I know he was at the Capitol earlier. I had a call with him on something else.
He's still online.
Yeah. He may be in a – I'm not sure what's happening. I'll go ahead and step in, and then he can – if he's able to get free, he can address a few other things. So I guess the biggest news is bill filing deadline is Friday. And from my understanding, although it is a pandemic, there have been thousands of bills still filed this session. Maybe not quite as many as we have seen in the previous few sessions. I heard some estimates of 80 to 85% of those totals are going to be filed, but that still means thousands upon thousands of bills. So kudos to this state for being able to file lots of legislation in every 2 years, whether it's good or bad. So the good news is on March 12th, we should know kind of the sphere of all the bills that are out there then the committee hearings have started really this week, and I think we'll ramp up from here as we get through the end of session, which is, I believe, sine die is May 31st is what I heard, or sometime about thereabouts at the end of May. From our perspective, the big news is, you know, we had basically two priorities coming into this. Was our aquifer storage and recovery bill that we wanted to see filed in for an ASR in the Edwards Aquifer Authority boundaries. We have a bill that was filed by Representative Kemple. It's House Bill 2863. We were waiting on a revised draft of that bill to come back from Legislative Council, but we've been waiting for that now for 3+ weeks. And so rather than wait until the absolute deadline, last week, Representative Kemple agreed to go ahead and file the bill that we had, and with the hopes that they would substitute the new language for the old when it comes time for a committee hearing on that bill. Again, we just wanted to keep the process moving. We had a call earlier today with staff of the Edwards Aquifer Authority who had some questions about that bill and our desires and what we're trying to do. So we're both doing a little bit of homework there before we make any final decisions about how to move that forward. But we at least have a bill. We've got a vehicle that has not been referred to committee yet, but nothing that was filed in around that time that I've seen has been referred yet. So we're still working on that. The second item that you'll recall as a priority is actually a priority for lots of entities, and that is to allow for virtual meetings and teleconference meetings by public entities. And there has been a whole number of bills filed that do that in various shapes, forms, and efforts. And I think there's lots of interest. I think everybody wants to see something move forward. No one's quite sure which bill is the best, or everybody has their own opinions as to which bill is the best. So I think we're all a little bit waiting for some momentum to build around one bill or the other to try and push that one over the line. But when I say there's been lots of bills, I think it's on the order of 40 to 50 bills that deal with that alone. So they're all nuanced differences. And then finally, I'll say there's been, well, two other finalies. There's also been, as there is every session, a lot of items with eminent domain. And so obviously we're continuing to monitor all those and track those. Many of those don't have major changes to what we would be doing. They are minor nuanced things that probably would not be significantly detrimental to our activities. A couple of them would be pretty harsh. And so we'll just continue to monitor those and see how far those get. And how far we need to weigh in on those. But that's pretty typical of every session. And a lot of these bills are literally just rehashes from previous sessions that have been filed. And then lastly, none of you be surprised to hear or know about the hundreds of bills that have been filed in response to the electric and water problems that everybody had at the end of February. I mean, there's the number of bills that require things of the Public Utility Commission and or ERCOT is astounding. And so, you know, those don't, I would say that those are not items that we directly are impacted by, but those certainly are things as they continue to move forward, we'll want to keep an eye on, especially if there's ways that we can be listed as critical infrastructure and keep our circuits on, particularly at the water treatment plant. And other areas of that we can, and if we have this type of event again, we can continue to provide water to our sponsors. You know, I see us as another supply source for each of you that can help provide more resiliency if we have weather events in the future. And so the more that we can harden against that, the better off we'll be. So that's kind of the quick overview, or not so quick maybe. Otherwise, I've included in the packet updates and all the bills we're tracking. Like I said, there have not been any hearings on any of these yet. They're just starting to get referred to committee. So here over the next 6 weeks, this will really start to ramp up speed. I'm in conversation at least every other day with Scott on different bills and what we want to watch or don't watch and some of those things. So they're busy at the legislature trying to find background on some bills and work with us to give us more information. Otherwise, I don't have any particular bill to highlight or go through. Just again, in the packet is all these various bills that we're currently tracking. And then we'll do another update here at the end of the week, and that'll be our universe of bills that we've got to track through the end of session. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Hey, Graham, this is Tim, City of Kyle. So Bill 307, Senate Bill, is that still falling to the wayside? I know last time you spoke on that, that seemed to be the case.
Yeah, I believe it is. So Senate Bill 307 by Senator Eckhart, she's a freshman senator representing Travis County, the Austin area, and I believe bleeds into Bastrop County a little bit. That is the one that would prohibit entities other than local government corporations from providing wholesale water across two or more county lines if they're not already doing so by September 2021. Obviously, that's a grave concern to us because we would not qualify within that. That bill has been referred to the Senate Ag, Water, and Rural Affairs Committee, which Senator Eckhart has been appointed to. But my understanding is that bill is not going to move forward from there. This affects many entities across the state, and as drafted, it is a statewide bill, and there seems to be general consensus that this bill does not need to move forward. So, Tim, I don't see it changing. It looks like that bill will not move forward this session.
Thank you, Graham.
All right. Thank you very much, Graham. Moving on to Section I, Board Member Items or Future Agenda Items. All right. And with that, we'll move on to Item J, Executive Session. J1, Executive Session pursuant to the Government Code, Section 551-071, Consultation with Attorney, and or Section 551-072, Real Property Deliberations Regarding Water Supply Partnership Options, Groundwater Leases, Acquisition of Real Property for Water Supply Project Purposes. And Graham,
everybody should have received the information for the Executive Committee, the Executive Session. So please log out of this meeting and log into that one.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like an exception for Regina Frankie.
Yes, sir. Any others? All right. With that, Graham, I guess we're ready to go to the other line.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
I think we have everybody back.
All right. Thank you very much, Graham. So we're back from executive session and moving on to item J2, action from executive session on the following matters: A, water supply partnership options; B, groundwater leases; C, acquisition of real property for water supply project purposes; I believe we have an item there.
And this is Tom Taggart. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
This is Tom Taggart. I make a motion to revise the approval limits of the executive director and technical committee defined in our property acquisition policy as discussed in executive session.
Mike Taylor, second.
Okay. Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you. Moving on to item J2D. Consideration of resolution 202103-10007, finding public convenience and necessity for and authorizing the acquisition of certain water pipeline easements and temporary construction easements and certain fee estates for the Alliance Regional Water Authority Phase 1B waterline project in connection therewith over, across, upon, and under certain privately owned real estate properties, authorizing all appropriate actions by the Board of Directors, staff, retained attorneys, and engineering and technical consultants in the institution of prosecution of condemnation proceedings to acquire any such needed fee estates and easements and temporary construction easements and related rights of ingress and egress that cannot be acquired through negotiation. Declaring further negotiations futile, ratifying and affirming all acts and proceedings heretofore done or initiated by employees, agents, and attorneys of ARWA to acquire such property interests, including necessary acts for any applicable lien holders for such properties, authorizing all other lawful action necessary and incidental to such acquisition or eminent domain proceedings to survey, specify, define, and secure the necessary interests in real property, declaring the sections of the resolution to be severable one from the other in the event any section of the resolution is determined to be invalid, establishing an effective date, and finding and determining that the meeting at which this resolution is passed was noticed and is open to the public as required by law.
Mr. Chairman, Mike Taylor, I move to adopt the resolution with the amended attachment and the one property description change.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor? Say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you very much. Moving then on to item K, adjournment.
So moved, Mr. Chairman, Mike Taylor.
Second.
Thank you very much. It has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no. Are there any abstentions? The ayes have it. Motion passes. Thank you all very much. Hope you all stay safe and have a good March.
Thank you.
Adios.
Bye. Take care, buddy.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.